Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Portland podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We come together on Sunday as one church in two locations in Northeast Portland and North Portland. Come join us at one of our gatherings. For times, how to find us, and more information, visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. We look forward to worshiping with you. Here's this week's talk.
Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know who I am, that's okay. My name is Matt, part of the staff team here at Mosaic, and I also have the privilege of serving as one of the teaching pastors. I'm so glad that you've decided to be with us this morning, to gather with us, to sing, and to hear from the Word. A few months back, I was invited on a trip to Israel with some other leaders from around the country. It was about 40 of us invited. There were writers and musicians and pastors and politicians and TV personalities. It was an interesting crew of people. We even had a former Miss America come on the trip. The point of the trip was to expose followers of Jesus belonging to both the millennial and the Gen X generation to the tensions and hardships in the Middle East. And one of the other hopes was that Christian leaders representing many different fields of work would build relationships with both the Palestinian and the Israeli people. A large portion of the 40 people that were invited were actually from Portland, about 15 of us, and a few of us knew each other. It was a great experience. One detail that I left out it's probably important to the story is the trip was free. I'm not sure about you. I know a lot of you in this room, but I don't know everyone. I don't know if you're like me. I have a difficult time saying no to things that are free. I'm the guy who walks by the kitchen in the office and there's free donuts and I say, yes, please. And I'm also the guy at the party that whether he's invited or not, if there's free pizza, I'm going to eat the free pizza because, again, it's free pizza. So when someone offers me a free trip to Israel, I say, yes, please, absolutely. So I went home to my wife, and I let her know about the trip that I was invited on. I really wanted to go. She knew it was a dream of mine, and she said, obviously, you can't not go. And so we made some plans for her parents to fly up from Arizona to watch the kids, and it was all set and ready to go. And I try really hard in my life, just because of the culture and the way we use language, I try really hard to not throw this language around quite a bit, but this trip was actually life-changing for me and for a lot of the people that were on the trip. From meeting with Palestinian and Israeli journalists to political leaders to sitting with Arab and Israeli Christians to visiting all the biblical sites, it was full, it was rich, it was an overwhelming 10 days. Days were packed from early morning into the night. We visited Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. We drove up to the north part of Israel, to the Golan Heights overlooking Syria, where the War of 67 was. We visited Bethlehem and Nazareth. We went into the West Bank. We drove all the way down to the southern tip of Israel and overlooked the Gaza Strip. One day I actually got to sit and read the Sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes. It was crazy. We had this evening where a young Israeli family invited us into their small home and fit 40 of us all around these tables to their living room and in their kitchen. We had an authentic traditional Shabbat dinner, welcoming in the Sabbath, a day of rest. A few weeks before the trip, I was actually here at Mosaic and teaching in the middle of our miracles series, and I was teaching out of Mark 5 about Jairus' young daughter and the bleeding woman. 2 weeks later, I was standing in the middle of Capernaum, the city where Jairus was from, and I was actually standing where the synagogue used to be. And I was in the town that Jesus actually lived in when he was doing his ministry. Later in the week, we actually visited the tomb where they believed Jesus raised from the dead and conquered death once and for all. It was a mind-blowing trip, and as my 7-year-old son would say, it was epic. I'd have to say, though, that there's this one moment on the trip that happened in the middle that didn't really leave me the entire time. We were driving to this lake one day. Most of you might know the lake as the Sea of Galilee. And we're driving up, and we see this boat sitting at the dock. And we start to understand that we're about to go on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And a lot of us were getting really excited. And so our tour guide, Yoav, who's a great young man, encouraged us to come and to jump on the boat. It was right at that point in the day where the sun is starting to set and the mountains are surrounding the Sea of Galilee on the south part of the lake. And it's just, it's beautiful. Beautiful sky. It's this incredible moment. And so we get out to the middle of the lake and we stop. And Yoav, our tour guide, he actually encouraged us to take some time and be quiet. If you can imagine a small fishing boat with 40 people, some TV personalities and politicians and people from the south and people in the north, it's an interesting group of people. But there was silence for probably 20 or 25 minutes. As I sat there quietly, all the stories of the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John started to rush over my head. And all the stories of Jesus doing ministry on this very lake and crossing it to get to Capernaum and back to other parts. I began to think about specifically how Jesus filled his time on this earth. Begin to think about the rhythms of Jesus, that he spent time knowing his Father, that he actually spent time walking with others, inviting them in, teaching them. And from that place, out of an identity of being a son of God, he served others. After a few moments of this silence, and I was thinking of this way, I felt like God was trying to get my attention. I feel like God's Spirit began to prompt my thinking. And I began to sense his heart for me in that moment. And although I didn't hear an audible voice, I sensed his Spirit strongly, and these are some phrases that I wrote down a few days later. I heard this. I heard, "Matt, you're my son. I love you. I want you to know my heart. I want you to use this life for my purposes." Now, these promptings for me weren't new. I had heard them before, but never in my life, never in the 20 years I've been following Jesus, had I ever heard them as clear and as powerful as I did sitting there that evening. I sense it to be a loving invitation to go deeper into letting Jesus take hold of my life. And it seemed that this invitation that I was sensing and feeling was surrounding the concept of my time and the use of my time. Not long after we got back to the States, I was sitting here at Mosaic in the teaching team meeting, and we were planning this series. We started to talk about coming out of this resurrection series and what's next, what's practical, what is Jesus doing out of that, what's he called us to, and this picture of God wants to reconcile, now that we're a new people, he wants to reconcile all these different areas of our life back into the way he wants us to live. So we started to list the things, Tim wrote down time, and I was like, hey, can I get time? And I did that, but not because I believed that was an area that I would actually be the best person to teach you today, far from it, but actually what I was recognizing in that moment was that actually Jesus was already in the midst of inviting me into that part of my life. He was already in the midst of trying to reconcile that area. He was actively working in that area. How to use my time. How he's actually ordered that time. And so I asked for today's talk. So today we're going to talk about time. And I really just have one pretty large question for us, and I hope that we get to answer it today. And here it is. As followers of Jesus, are we making the most of the time God's given us? Let me repeat that again. As followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, are we making the most of the time God's given us? Before we move any further, we believe that the Holy Spirit is the person who points us to the person of Jesus, and then we want to hear from him today, and we want him to guide our time. So if you would you... do you bow your head with me? I want to pray for our time. Spirit, we believe that you're here this morning. Believe that you're desiring to point out truth to us, to point us to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and what it means for our lives. Jesus, we pray against distraction. Father, we know that the scriptures say that the evil one wants nothing more than for us to be distracted from your story, to be distracted from the way in which you call us to live. And so, Father, I pray against distraction. I pray that I would be out of the way and that we would be able to hear your heart for the day, for us, that we would be willing to respond to what you're calling us into, what you're inviting us into. God, may you be glorified in our time. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at a text in the letter to the Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 5, verse 15. If you'd like to follow along, there's Bibles to your left and to your right. Scripture will also be on the screen. In the verses leading up to verse 15 in chapter 5, Paul has just reminded his listeners that they used to actually be children of darkness, children who actually were walking in rebellion towards God. And he's reminded them that now, because of them believing in Jesus and the work on the cross and their faith in him, that now they're actually children of light. In verse 8, Paul actually says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are now you are light in the Lord." When speaking of evil and brokenness and darkness, Paul does not pull any punches. He's direct and he's very clear. He's making the point to his listeners to not go back to filling up their time with evil deeds, because not only is it worthless to human flourishing, but that they actually aren't those people anymore. You actually aren't people of darkness, people of wasting your time and wasting your life. You're actually people of God now. So let's pick up in verse 15. He says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Paul opens up with this challenge: be very careful how you live. In this short phrase, Paul has a Hebrew concept in mind for how you live or how you behave. It simply means this. He's saying, pay very close attention how you walk through your life. Paul makes two statements here, and I think we need to take a few moments to unpack them in order for us to be able to have the best chance of answering our question that I posed earlier. The first statement is this: Paul presupposes that followers of Jesus are actually wise, not foolish. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, at the beginning of this letter, Paul writes, "God's grace has been lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure." Later in chapter 3, in verse 10, he says, "God's intent was that now, through the church, through you and through me, through those at Ephesus, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul is calling the Ephesians to live wisely in light of their new identity as a new people, a new people who make up a church brought from darkness into the knowledge and wisdom that Jesus is and always has been God's answer to reconciling his broken world. Paul goes on in chapter 1 to say that when you put your faith and trust in the person of Jesus and become a part of God's new family, God's Spirit now lives inside of you. And his Spirit is always pointing you back to the person of Jesus. So in light of this truth, listen, Ephesians, pay attention, listen up. Don't behave like the darkness you once were, but walk as God's wise children. So as new people of God, with God's Spirit within us, Paul says, we have wisdom. Let's read verse 15 again. "Be very careful in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." The second statement here I want to unpack is wise people make the most of their time. Paul's statement right here in Ephesians 5, it's like another statement he makes in another letter to a church at Colossae in chapter 4, verse 5. He says this, he says, "Be wise in the ways you act towards outsiders, make the most of every opportunity." The statement that he's making wise people make the most of your time is referencing being a Christian witness, being a good Christian witness. He's saying, as God's new people with his wisdom inside of us, we are to make the most of every opportunity to live out the good news of Jesus. Let's read 17 one last time. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The Greek word for understand here simply means to give the mind to something in order to get hold of it, or to reach for it, or to grasp for it. In other words, Paul's saying, don't be foolish, but be wise, filling your time with grasping to understand and walk towards God's heart for life. It's an action on our part, something we do, we step into, we reach for. So it begs the question, how do we understand the will of the Father? How do we grasp towards God's heart for life? You don't have to turn there, but I want to read to you a section of Mark, maybe in chapter 1, verse 35, if you want to follow along. I think it's important to attempt to understand where this storyline is and where this comes from, this call to understand the will of the Father and how do we grasp at the Father's heart. Verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. This is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A few verses before this, we actually see Jesus himself, by himself being led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tested for 40 days before he could actually launch his ministry. We see him being tempted by the evil one in the desert, all the while being made strong by the Spirit. In Mark 2, we see Jesus spend time alone with the Father before he teaches. In Mark 3, we see Jesus withdraw with his disciples before the large crowd gathers, and on and on and on and on. And gospel story after gospel story, the writers expose the rhythm of life in Jesus. How do we understand the will of the Father? How do we grasp towards God's heart for life? Look to Jesus. Look to the person of Jesus and what he did. Jesus himself says, not my will be done, but yours. He's speaking of the Father's will, the Father's heart. Jesus spent his life growing in his relationship with his Father and learning how to order his time based on his Father's heart and the Spirit's leading. Over and over and over again, the Gospels tell this story of Jesus' rhythm of spending alone time with the Father, what the Bible calls abiding. It simply means to remain, to sit, to be with, to commune with. That out of that abiding time, that out of that place, that Jesus then invites others to follow him. He begins to share his life with them, his energy, shares meals with them. He teaches them what he's learned. And then from that place, he seeks out of that identity to serve and care for others, to bring healing. This is how Jesus spent his time on earth. What I'd like to submit to us today is that God is actually inviting all of us into understanding the way he views time. That he's actually inviting his children who he loves deeply to learn to use their time wisely and to focus on things that last into his kingdom, that matter. He cares about what we fill our time with and the order in which we do it. So back to the very first question I asked you. As followers of Jesus, are we making the most of the time God's given us? Here's the answer. I can't answer that for you. The challenge that I'm left with, the challenge that we're left with today, the one I'm presenting to you today, is this. Jesus is offering us something. God is offering us something. He's inviting you into something. Are you going to accept the invitation to allow Jesus to reconcile the way in which you view and use your time? Will you this week begin or begin again by ordering your life how Jesus did? I'm not sure about you, but I've loved this series personally. I have been growing in my understanding of Jesus' heart for my life. I've been able to see God working in the midst of Mosaic, in the midst of my family and my friends and you here who I know. All kinds of stories about how God is working. Already, even though the talk is on time today, I've already heard stories of how God's working on people's hearts and the use of their time. There are people all through our community who are looking to the example of Jesus to order their lives, seeking to believe and live out what we do here on the stage singing and what we do here to hear the teaching, to actually step into their intimate relationship with Jesus and from that identity seek to fill their time with things the Lord is doing and things for the kingdom. We have people right now in the midst of our gathering who are standing upstairs holding babies or downstairs teaching your children about Jesus. And they're doing this because they believe that it's actually worth their time to come on a Sunday and give you a space to come here to gather with other believers in Jesus, to worship, to be reminded of the good news, to be reminded of what God's done. And they want to be in the other room taking care of your children to serve you. It's a great gift. It's a worthy investment. Yesterday we had about 20 people, mostly adults and 3 or 4 kids, meet down at the Portland Rescue Mission. We went down to meet men and women who are homeless, who are looking to get a shower and looking to get a bed for the night. We prayed and we asked that Jesus would actually use our time, that he would actually be present in the midst of what we were doing in that moment. We began to meet people and began to learn their names and shake their hands and communicate value to them. And we passed out cookies and popcorn and waters and we played bingo for 2 hours. Handed out socks and shirts and hats. We had so much fun. We laughed. All the while serving and caring and communicating God's affection and love for them. It was time well spent. Some of you are stay-at-home moms and dads. You get this opportunity to care and to serve and to disciple and to model in all the messiness of our lives, all the things we model that aren't good. You get this opportunity to be at home and shape your children. Never regret that opportunity. You will never regret stepping into that. Another group of people within our community that are learning to be wise with their time by serving are our Mosaic leaders in training. You've heard us talk about them before. Every June, we actually celebrate these young men and women. Over the course of usually 2 years, LITs invest 10 to 15 hours per week to learn and develop as leaders. Both Mosaic pastors and mentors invest in them and spend time coaching them and caring for them, speaking into character and skills and their calling. It's a big investment for both the LITs and for those who invest in them. But it's time well spent because God accomplishes extraordinary things through ordinary people who are hungry to learn and willing to take risks to serve Jesus and his kingdom. I actually want to name our LITs for you. Luke Schaefer, Ted Taplett, Hannah Gambasi, Jake Ajiri, John Bean, Michael Miller. I'm sure you've seen them around. Luke's actually serving in the tech booth right now. Would you do me a favor? Actually, just would you give them a hand for all they do to serve us? They serve in Mosaic Kids and Restoration and Recovery. They serve here in the tech booth and the worship team, given a ton of their energy and time, and we are grateful to walk alongside them and be with them. I actually want to say a special thank you to Ted Taplett. Ted's usually at North, one of our LITs. He's actually completing his second year. Ted actually came to Mosaic with a couple years of full-time ministry experience, but he sensed that he wanted to learn more and he wanted to do it here at Mosaic. Ted was a part of growing and helping launch Mosaic North. We're grateful to have him here and we're excited to see what God does with Ted and Heather in this next season. All the people that I've mentioned, all the scenarios, all these ways in which people are stepping in, every single one of those people are learning to use their time in light of Jesus' example. And what this is saying is that this is wise, that this kind of living, this kind of thinking, this kind of rhythm of life will never be wasted. It will not be regretted. It is the thing that will last, that God will use that. God, through the person of Jesus, wants to continue to invite you and I into a new way of living. And he actually says that this new way of living, this new way of being, is the way humanity was intended to live and flourish in the original garden. He is in the business right now of reconciling us into making the most of our time, the most of every opportunity. And just so we're clear today, this invitation is for all. He's inviting everyone into his way of living, his way of being, his way of spending time and energy. Jason and the band are going to come, and they're going to lead us in a time of response, a time of worship. Again, my challenge to you this week is to sit with this question personally. Am I making the most of the time God has given me? I encourage you to, whether it makes you comfortable or not, invite the Spirit into that conversation. Ask him to make your first steps this week to move forward and listening for his heart.